It didn't do it. So let's see if I can find my wording here. Let's see.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Well, my intro didn't play like it was supposed to. So, and I'm not exactly sure where it is on the list of show things. Because this list is a heck of a lot longer than any of them I've got. But welcome to my friends. Welcome to the new Wise Conservatism radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. This week is a hallmark of another momentous moment for us here at NCW or NWCR, as we now are with Conservative Nation Radio Network at conservativenationradio.org. This is the reason that we are now later than we've ever been on the time clock, but we also, well, okay, this was fun. My intro didn't play like I wanted it to, like I had it listed as anyway, and hopefully now my microphone is working, which it should be, but I don't know where my intro song is, so I just won't play it today. I know I added it in there, but I sure as heck don't see it anywhere. So, but welcome to the new Wise Conservatism radio show. This week is the hallmark of another momentous moment for us. We've been here since 2007, and this one is the first show that we have done on our new radio network, conservativenationradio.org, which is also the reason why we are later than we are, and we're also doing a two-hour show, which is something I've never done. And okay. I wanted to do this show on traditional Americans. I needed to do a couple of things here. Conservatives respect pioneers. And Brenda Ward has been with ConservativeNationRadio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingram, Ann Coulter, and Monica Crowley have nothing on the women patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. And Barbara is in my chat room right now. Their show airs at on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and is a place to hear from real women who are real patriots. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B, too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Boy, I'll tell you. Only on the air for a couple minutes, and I've already made more mistakes than I made my whole last show. But that's okay, I guess. Just one of these days I'll get things straightened out here. Our show is all about traditional Americans, like I said. And it's actually to tell everybody what a conservative is, which is really a traditional American. But one of the bad things about conservatism is that the Democrats have really given conservatism a bad name, even though it doesn't deserve that name. And I'm not exactly sure why, but they have the media, they have Hollywood, they have the liberal left, the big machine, and every time that we try to do something that would be good for this nation, they will tear it down and throw it into the gutter, and too many people listen to that, and because of that, we have too many people who believe that conservatives do not believe in America. The reason why this definition has to be put out there for traditional Americans is that the idea of a traditional American hits home with a lot of people, and it doesn't really matter what your political ideals are. You can be a complete blithering liberal, but you probably consider yourself a traditional American. And with the idea of traditional Americans, we can actually push this idea onto people who normally would just shut us off if we just considered ourselves or just named ourselves conservatives. Because conservatives, like I said, has a bad name. A traditional American is for smaller government because they know that government is the source of all the ills that this world knows today. Hitler used government to get his power from. Ahmadinejad is using government to get his power from. Kim Jong-il got his power from government. And Obama is also getting his power from government. And all these people I mentioned here have one thing in common. They need bigger government to get what they desire from the people. And it is power and money. And those are the two big things that they really want out of us. And if it wasn't for the power that they pulled, that they feel they have over us, and the money they get from us, we wouldn't mean anything to them. And I'm not exactly sure of any other way to go about this. So the Republican Party is trying now to rebrand the Republican Party, which is a mistake. Rebranding is the same thing as with this marriage thing. We lost that battle when we started to define it. It was already defined. We didn't have to define anything. It was the liberals who were always trying to get us to redefine something, and we've done it, which has given us the ideals that all we are is just somebody who plays by defense, and you cannot win a defensive war no matter what you do. We lost Vietnam. Vietnam was a defensive war. And there's just things that throughout history, if we just stop and look at what history is doing and what we have done with history, we will see that we are going about this all wrong. So the battle here is, as it always has been, is the people or the traditional Americans are fighting to be able to be individuals, while the government is always fighting to take our individualism away and give in its place collectivism. And we have to remember this. Obama and the Reeds and the Pelosi's of the world do not think that we are smart enough to run our own lives or raise our own families without their help. So they will work harder than anything else to force their agenda on us, because as individuals, we are not as smart as they are, so we need their help to live. And deep down, even the moderate Democrats know this to be a complete lie, because we are smart enough for our own decisions. We are smart enough to raise and govern our own families. We are smart enough to raise our own children. We are smart enough to manage our own money. And we are smart enough to know how to spend or save our own money. That is where traditional Americans differ from the ones who believe in socialism, collectivism, and bigger government to take care of the ills of the world. And that essentially is the reason why we are pushing traditional Americanism instead of conservatism. And I've tried to bring Bing in, and I guess he's in there now. Are you there, Bing?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, sure. Adam. Sorry,
yeah.
I was
oh, okay.
I was listening to you, and yeah, we are smart enough. We are fierce enough, and we know. It's kind of like the song "A Country Boy Can't Survive." I mean, we know how to run a trot line. We know how to skin a butt. We know how to do all these things. We know how to put up with our own personal finances. But when we got people in Washington and so on, a great show too, by the way, that want to define us as being something a little bit less than what we are, then we will always be defined by that. We will be less than what we are if we let them define us that way. You see what I mean?
And we always have, too, though. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, and that is the problem. And, you know, we got, you know, the Jim Carreys of the world that want to sit there and talk about how much of a wussy we are as a country and how we're doing it wrong, you know. No. You know, I think they're doing it wrong. Where do these people come from? Where do all these people that need help come from? They come from creations of the government, the ghetto. Yeah. Look at the ghetto. What a fine example of where we've come and where we want to go.
That is exactly true. And, you know, I listen to the Blaze Network a lot, and one of the guys on there, his name is Will Cow, and his whole thing is, we are right, they are wrong. And I totally believe that. I'm looking for my, I'm supposed to do a stop set now.
Oh, I'll get that. Your clock must be a little bit, oh, yeah. I'll get that.
Okay.
Show, man. We've got to sit there and do a couple things here. And, you know, we're going to make a little screw-ups here along the way, but. Oh, well.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of them today.
Yeah, that's all right, man. My dad always said, you know, if you don't screw something up once in a while, people will never know you're working.
Yep.
And on that note, we'll be back in about 2.
Systems technology to be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology. It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Hey y'all, I'm Kixbrook.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooke.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a 4-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive drunk.
And I got a 3-letter word for you as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence.
Get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay.
You're back, Robert. And our call-in number, by the way, is 718-305-7176. So please get your calls in early so that we can get you on the board here and get you in queue. Back to you, Robert.
Okay. I've got about 30 pages here of things that I had written out and typed out, and then I get to doing this and nothing works. one of the things that I had done was I had been looking at the reasons why the traditional America is at war, and you know, and it's not like we're at war with an enemy or someone way on the other side of the ocean. We're at war with our own government. And one of the things that I found was a Texas mother was outraged that after her fifth grade son brought home schoolwork that apparently suggested the United States was to blame for September 11th terrorist attacks, and the quiz that was titled Remembering September 11th and was administered by a Flower Bluff independent school teacher at Corpus Christi, and it asked why might the United States be a target for terrorism. And it didn't give the right answer, in my opinion. The right answer to that question would have been, to me anyway, was that people around the world are jealous of what we have. We've got freedoms. We can do what we want. We can, you know, I can take my family out and go on a picnic today if it was warm enough outside. I can go on a trip across country if I wanted to. You can't do that in other countries. And one of the things that people around the world do not like about America is the fact that we can do these things and they can't. Their government will stop them. Their government will do the things that they have to stop that. And right now we have got the problem that our government is in the process of doing the things other governments do to their people by trying to stop us from doing things and actually teaching us history the way it's not supposed to be taught. And they're teaching us things that are not true, which is one of the reasons why, you know, I'm constantly watching what my daughters bring home, because, you know, they may be told something in school that I know is totally untrue, but they're being told this as being the truth. Well, I'm lucky they go to a good school system. But there's a lot of us who have kids that don't and that are being indoctrinated into being mindless little socialists for the next generation of liberals. And to me, that should bother almost every parent out there. That's my opinion.
Well, getting back to that, Robert, what would you call a traditional American? What would you call somebody that's, you know, steeped in traditional values of this country? How would you define them, I guess?
I would define them as people who want less government in their personal lives. You know, I know I don't want government in my house, you know, because I don't want their rules telling my family what they can and cannot do in their own house. And that's coming because, you know, they're getting to the point now where they're saying you can't smoke anywhere. And I've even heard people talking about how the government's going to try and get you so you can't smoke in your own house. And to me, that's just going way too far. They need to follow the Constitution. They need to stop this idiotic spending because, you know, without us, the government has no money. But they don't think that way. And that kind of thinking has to stop because they're spending like drunken sailors on a night on the town with everything that they want sitting there to buy, and they're buying everything they can right and left, not stopping to think about where this money's coming from. And I just want smaller government. I want them to follow the Constitution. I want them to follow the laws of the land and just literally stay out of our lives pretty much. As much as they can, anyway.
That's going to be a hard job for the government to stay out of our lives, because they seem to want to run it from cradle to grave.
Yeah, and we've allowed them to do that for so long that they think that we're infringing on their rights if we decide they ain't going to do it no more.
No, that's perfectly true, and you know, I would also say that, you know, that there is something going on in this country, and I think that people are starting to become awake. But I'm going to go back here and deal with the board a little bit and let you go ahead and carry on with your show there, buddy.
Okay. That sounds good. But he was asking about traditional Americans. Our own schools, even in a conservative state where American values are upheld more than most states, if the, this test was given, and that was in Texas. Now, this test was given, and the question put the blame for 9/11 squarely on the shoulders of America, and that blame rightfully lies in the hands of the person or persons who decided they hated America so damn much that they had to murder over 3,000 people to show the world that hatred. It doesn't lie on America. America is America, and the thing that really bothers me about everybody talking about how bad America is and how the world will be better without us, just try and take us out of the mix for a while and then have something come along and happen, a catastrophe on the other side of the world. Well, who do they turn to first? Well, they turn to the United States, because we are always the one that will turn up and help, no questions asked. And those, that seems to be the only times that some people even agree with what America is to the world. But, you know, that wasn't the right answer on the test. The right answer on the test was is that it was America's fault for not being to everyone what they needed, what we needed to be. The right answer was not given on the test, and in my opinion, if they get away with this kind of thing, the next thing they're saying is that America was to blame for World War II and for Pearl Harbor, and I'm sure that's been said too. But the right answer on this question, no matter what the darn right answer was on the test, was that the blame lies in the jealousy of other nations who hate us anyway for our freedoms, because we are a rich and powerful country, and they want that for themselves. And they have someone in charge who will carry out a war against us to get it. Nothing more. It lies in human greed, the blame game, the need stop, you know, and the blame game needs to stop now, because America was not to blame for this. And this is a big reason that traditional America is at risk of dying. Because even our schools are working on turning out another generation of America-hating children, like the generation of Harry Reid and Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. And yes, I did say Michelle, because I still remember her saying that she had never been proud of her country till they elected her husband. Well, to me, that was the wrong thing to say, because it's not something that I will remember, I will forget. That we in that quiz, the boy answered the question correctly, and on my blog I had a picture of the test. He got 100% on it, but the correct answer was decisions we made in the United States have negative effects on people elsewhere. Well, whoop-de-doo. The mother of the boy, his name is Kara Sands, contacted the school's principal, who contacted the producer of the video, and the quiz was on, Safari Montage. They both defended the video, but the quiz was changed to be more clear. And the mother said, "I'm not going to justify radical terrorists by saying we did anything to deserve that, where over 3,000 people died." And that is just absolutely correct. In the beginning of the article on the Right Scoop, where I found it, it rightfully said this before the article's meat and potatoes part. It says, "It's amazing the crap that gets into our schools, and this isn't something you can just ignore, as it's highly offensive." And sadly, the kid got a perfect score on that, whereas, and, you know, like I said, the right answer was not there. I got a phone call here, looks like. Hello, boy, are you there? I guess not.
Yeah, I am. I had my mic muted on my end, and I had to get to that little button, you know.
I did
Hi,
that
Robert.
Right at the beginning of my show.
Hi, Holy Robert.
Bad form.
Well, welcome to the network. I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, me too, even though I've made more mistakes my first 5 minutes than I did my last several shows.
Oh, you know, like I said in the chat, if you ain't screwing up, you ain't doing nothing.
Or you're not live.
Yes, that could be true, too.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Well, nothing. I was going to just tell you I was going to mute myself for a while and let you get on with your thoughts and your program. But I did want to welcome you into the show, into the network. I think
thank you.
I think you made a good move there, son.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping so myself because I know I've been doing this show since 2007 and. I've had a following, but I've never really had big numbers when it came to my archive listening until just about 4 weeks ago. So, and it's kind of surprised me.
Well, it will get better. You know, I think that you should, you know, let me say this. Do what you've done since 2007. As you've done it since 2007, and all will work out.
Yep.
I mean, it's you know, not a new bananas to you, you know.
Yeah, I've never gone with a program log, so that's new for me.
You know. I could get you in real trouble here right now if you follow my advice. But you know what? I say screw the log right now and just do your show. Bing, cover for me, would you, buddy?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm just a little fly on the wall over here, boy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Okay.
Get your show going, and you know. If you miss the logs, you know, you're only gonna torque off Duke just a little bit, but you know
what?
Everybody else on this network has torqued Duke off a little bit for missing their logs and all of this stuff, but you got a show to run. I'm here to listen to you. I don't care about no logs.
Well, you know, I think I torqued him off last week when I didn't do my show and I got sick.
See, don't get sick, Robert.
I don't do that very often, but boy, I'll tell you, ever since I met my the lady that I got married to, and then happened to be around her kids, and I think the first 6 months I was with her, I was sick a lot. Because I was around the kids and they were getting sick, and then they'd bring it home. And
what about this other one?
Welcome.
Oh yeah, she knows about it. She's the one who brought that up to me.
All I can say is, welcome to the world of parenting.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun.
How do you think how do you think all of us older kids have gotten immunized? You know. It wasn't from shots or anything like that. It was from, damn, you went to school, you got sick, you came home, you got better, and your immune system was stronger.
Yeah.
Well, the world's going to be different now because we're, banning dodgeball, okay? So, you know, everybody is going to just be totally fine, okay? We got dodgeball out of the way.
And they're working on football now too,
and playing tag and anything that's competitive.
Well, I'll tell you what, when they ban NASCAR, we got serious problems here. Right?
Yep, and I've got the hard set stop set hard right now for Well, no, not that, but I got.
Yeah,
oh my
gosh!
I don't know what the heck I'm doing
money.
Here. I'm looking.
We got a little money to make here, so boy, we'll talk to you just in a little bit. Okay.
Yeah. So now I got to find my little ad here that I got to do. I had it here just a few seconds ago, and it was just right here on the top of my paperwork, and then I started moving stuff around, and it's no longer here.
Well, I got
there
it.
There it is.
So.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah, I think I found it. LifeLock. ConservativeNation.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information by using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock, folks. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenation.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org. I said it wrong in the first place. I said Conservative Nation. But it's conservativenationradio.org. And click on the LifeLock banner. We
first opened about 10 years ago. We're small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Oh, boy, that was fun.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Okay, I have to do several things during my first hour, and one of the things is doing little spot things for the different shows we have, and I'm coming up on the time I'm going to end up having to do that, but right now, one of the things that really caught my attention with these new conservatives we've got out here, and they're I'm actually kind of having a blast with some of these. Rand Paul and his filibuster a couple of weeks ago about on the floor of the Senate, where he stopped everything for about 12 hours or so. And now this whole gun control thing is having another group of Republicans who are threatening to filibuster it. Rubio joined it this Thursday. He joined the group of Republicans threatening to filibuster gun control legislation in the Senate, which I think is actually a really great thing, because when it comes to gun control, the government just needs to get the heck out of it. They don't have the authority for it. Their ideals for doing it is completely wrong, because their whole idea on this whole thing is that guns kill people. No, they don't. Sure, guns are used to kill people, but it's not the gun itself that kills people. But when Rubio joined this up, he says the whole thing on this says, we, the undersigned, intend to oppose any legislation that would infringe on the American people's constitutional right to bear arms or on their ability to exercise this right without being subjected to government surveillance. And that's what Marco Rubio wrote. He said the Second Amendment to the Constitution protects citizens' rights to self-defense. And, you know, it goes a little farther in that right now because it also protects the people from a tyrannical government. And the way I look at this whole thing is that the left on our in our government is being really close to, if not outright tyrannical, which to me is the reason why they want to disarm us. They know what's going on. They know what they're doing, and they know the people don't like it. You know, and they'll come out and tell us that poll after poll says that the people are behind them, and they know darn good and well it's not true. But the government right now is working harder than ever before to actually disarm the people. They don't want us armed. They don't want us to be able to protect ourselves. They don't want us to be able to stop them from doing what they want to do. You know, and if we look back into history, one of the things that we have to realize is that if we don't know our history, we will be doomed to repeat it. And one of the things that happened, like, before World War II, when Hitler was making his moves to take over the German government, there were a lot of things that happened back then that, if we look at what's going on today, mirror what was going on then. The government used, Hitler used children to get his points across. Obama uses children to get his points across. People like Kerry are saying that us Republicans are to fault for everything, and every time a child gets killed because of a gun, it's our fault because we will not bend to help them get rid of guns. Well, that, you know, and they sit there and they will tell us right to our faces that that is not what they want. They don't want to ban guns. But then if you sit and listen to them when they're talking and they don't think people are listening, they'll say exactly that. They'll say that that is what they're after. And they don't, you know, they don't think that we're actually listening. And I think they're going to be really surprised when they find out that we really are listening. Earlier this week, GOP Senators Rand Paul of Kentucky, Mike Lee of Utah, and Ted Cruz of Texas, and I like that guy, wrote a letter to the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, pledging to oppose the motion to proceed to any legislation that will serve as a vehicle for any additional gun restrictions. In adding his name to that letter on Thursday, Rubio gives the group some added heft and star power, which is a good thing. Next month, Reid plans to bring to the floor a bill that would expand background checks and penalties on straw purchases of firearms. The portion of the bill on illegal trafficking of firearms has bipartisan support, which to me, I think, is wrong, but it includes Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, the ranking Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Grassley is also preparing gun control legislation, and he will offer as an alternative to the package from the Democrats. And we really have to start watching out what's going on here, because they want to they want to ban guns. They really do. They might be starting out with little legislation here, a little legislation there, but the end result is going to be banning guns from the people, so the people cannot protect themselves. I am not exactly sure when I was supposed to do this one, but it's a thing on the traditional American movement. The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness, which we are not. But don't be fooled. The Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by a 2-to-1 margin, according to numerous polls, even by the liberals, which a lot of you would be surprised to hear. If you respect traditional American values, there's no place for you to call home on the internet. There is a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com or TradAm, as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is a place where real conservatives can meet up without surf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. Traditional American Movement is a liberal free website. But that, I'm not exactly sure where I'm going right now. But let's see, I've got another.
Yeah, that monitor just was a little bit early, and it, but that's fine. I mean, just, you know, continue. I mean, you're doing all right, man. Just, you know, you have to get in the groove of things. It's just everything is a little bit different. I mean, yep. You know, it's different for a reason, though. But it's a cool business.
Well, of course.
I was wondering, what do you think about as far as the president saying that we're, you know, that we are guilty, that we are, you know, putting the shame, doing the shame, blame, shamow game on us, you know, in his remarks last week?
Well, I don't believe 99% of what the president says anymore, because one of the things that I remember when Bush took office was that everybody blamed him for everything, even right from the very beginning. It was Bush's fault. And Obama's been is now in his second term, and it's still Bush's fault. Obama won't take blame for anything, but he sure is willing to put the blame on everybody else. And because we won't go for the things that he wants, you know, now we're to blame. There's not much about that man that, it to me, is trustworthy. And I'm still looking for that one thing, that there has to be something there, but I'm beginning to doubt it now. But there was a question that had been actually brought up to me. One of the things that has been going on in our nation is the destabilization of the dollar. And I had a question brought up to me about what would be the connection between destabilizing the dollar and gun bans. And I know it's there. I know there is a connection, but my mind is totally blank, which is not a good thing. But Obama, I think from day one, has been doing everything he can to destroy the way this nation was founded. And he has succeeded in more ways than any of us really want to admit. And that's one of the things that just really bothers me about this. I've got to go to some ads here. for the 50, 40. Pardon?
We're fine. We're fine for another minute.
Yeah, another minute. Well, my clock says it's already there, but that's okay. But, you know, we have to stop thinking about Obama as that person that if we oppose him, we're racist or something like that. You know, this kind of thinking has got to stop, because if we don't, we're going to destroy ourselves just because we will find out through being called racist when we don't agree with him that we're going to destroy this nation by not doing the right things, because we'll be called racist if we do. I don't rightly care if I'm called a racist if I oppose him, because I'm going to oppose him. Right, I've opposed him from the first time I heard about him. And I can go back in my blog, and the first time I heard about him, I had questions that have never been answered. So,
well, when the other side gets upset, they start hurling out the insults, because they have nothing else. They have no facts. They have nothing else to rely upon. But we're going to take a quick 2-minute break here, and we'll be right back.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Okay. We are having a lot of fun here as I'm searching through my stuff now to find out what the heck I'm trying to be doing here. I know that Americans are starting to wake up. Barbara mentioned that in the chat room, but I I've even had people ask, and it's even been asked in the chat room too, is that we're waking up, sure, but is it too late? I don't think so. I think that Americans are starting to realize that if they don't wake up, that it will be too late before too long. But I don't think it's too late yet. But we're getting there. And we are working on trying to figure out why suddenly, well, actually, the Democrats right now are really working hard on trying to figure out why suddenly people are starting to turn away from them when they are doing the same things as they've always done, pretty much. And they just don't seem to realize that what is going on is that, you know, people are just are getting a belly full of what they are doing. They are saying all kinds of stupid things, and that's one of the things that I found out about this week was we've got a New York Democratic representative, Jose Serrano. And you know, this man, I did a post on my blog after Jose Chavez died because of something this idiot said. But he is now reintroducing a bill in Congress, and he did this on Friday, to repeal the 22nd Amendment, which places term limits on the U.S. presidency. And I've heard things about this going on and this happening. I've heard that Obama may be going after a third term. But now we've got congressmen trying to abolish the presidential term limits law so that Obama will have the chance to have his third term. And it's something that I would hate to say is possible. But then again, I also hated to say that Obama's second term was possible, because I really didn't think it was. But he's now in his second term, so that kind of lets us all know that, you know, and lets us all know that it is possible. But H.J. RES-15 proposes an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to repeal the 22nd Article of Amendment, thereby removing the limitation on the number of terms an individual may serve as president. The bill was reintroduced by Serrano, which is a reintroduction of another bill that was introduced into Congress in January 2011, which was referred to as the House Judiciary Committee, but it did not make it to the floor for a vote. Repealing the 22nd Amendment has been a long-time goal of Serrano's, regardless of the sitting president's political party. But, you know, there is a reason that this was put in there. The office of the president is not an easy job, and it really doesn't matter what your ideals are as president. The president, being the president of the United States, is not an easy job. It's something I would not want. And if we, you know, and if we want to figure out just how hard it is on somebody, take a look at the before and after pictures of George W. Bush before he went into the White House and after he left. Take a look at President Obama when he was a senator running for president. Get a picture of him today and see how much grayer he is. There is a reason they put this in there, and it's not to keep somebody from running for a third term because they might be able to, but it is hard on a person. And I had heard that this was one of the reasons they put it in there, because it's not healthy. It's not a healthy job. It's not healthy for the person who has it. And to me, it's a thing that needs to be left alone. Two terms is plenty for anybody, I would think. But on this Jose Serrano, like I said, I did another post on him at the beginning of March when he said something else that was rather stupid. He was, after Hugo Chavez died, he said Hugo Chavez was a leader that understood the needs of the poor. He was committed to empowering the powerless. R.I.P., Mr. President. This man exemplifies the left in this country, in my opinion. He doesn't care what is good for this country. He only cares what is good for our enemies or people who do not like us. And that seems to be the direction that the whole liberal side of our country is going. Ahmadinejad has said things like he wants to wipe Israel off the face of the map. He has said pretty much the same thing about America. But we can't really say anything against him because that would be unfair, according to the left. But we can, but also according to the left, we can say anything we want against things that make this country strong. Like conservatism or people who are patriots to this country or Christianity. Or making our borders stronger so people can't just walk across them. Anything that would make America stronger is not the thing to do when it comes to the liberal left. And to me, that is what makes it doubly stupid for us to continue to re-elect these idiots into office. I just have to shake my head as to why we do what we do and why we are always re-electing these people when we know deep down that we can't continue to do this. We're selling our country right down the tubes, and there's really nothing we can do except get these people out of office. And I'm not just talking about the Democrats either, because there are Republicans out there like John McCain who are doing the same darn things. But we're coming up on the top of the hour right now, and so we're going to probably have to take ourselves a little bit of a break. As it is,
we'll take a little break.
5 o'clock.
We'll be back in two. Your clock is a little fast, John. Or Robert, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well,
but yeah, we'll take a little
o'clock.
Break. I don't know. The computer clock is a little wrong. Either that or we're a little slow out here in the South, but we'll take a little break. We'll be right back in two.
Okay.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to.
Then what you're
going to
do is turn onto Martha Avenue.
Just broke up
and go past
and
the first three
she's
lights,
happy
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really
then
think
five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but you should be
who
there.
Who am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right.
That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
I see you got. I see you're getting a little bit of a hang of it there, Robert, which is cool.
Well, actually, I kind of pushed the wrong one because that was the same one as the first one. First hour.
Oh, that's all right. But we do have too, a little. We do have a quick one to read here, and hey, all you secret members of the Joe McCarthy fan club. Join Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, for Radio Free America. Duke lists anti-communists among his hobbies, which is probably why NBC didn't hire him to fly a national network news helicopter. But if you love history, politics, flying, and the occasional Whitaker Chambers reference, check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America Mondays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Take it away, Robert.
I had just found an article in the National Journal about a secret Republican plan to repeal Obamacare and why the fight is far from over. And I'm beginning to believe on this thing that, you know, just like Reagan did, you know, one of the nearest things to eternal life on this planet is a government program, and now that Obamacare is a government program, we're going to play heck to get rid of it. But this one went back to last summer when a few minutes after the Supreme Court issued its landmark decision upholding President Obama's health care law, a senior advisor to Mitch McConnell walked into the Senate Republican leader's office to gauge his reaction. And McConnell, it says, was clearly disappointed, and for good reason. For many conservatives, the decision was the death knell in a three-year fight to defeat reforms that epitomized everything they thought was wrong with Obama's governing philosophy. But where some saw finality, McConnell saw opportunity, and he says he still does. He was referring to the court's ruling at the heart of the 2010 Affordable Care Act, the so-called individual mandate that requires everyone in the country to buy health insurance or pay a penalty, that was a tax. And while McConnell fought calling it the mandate was a tax was rather creative way to upholding the law, it also opened a new front in his battle to repeal it. I have really strong feelings about this one because the government has no right interfering in our lives to force us all to have insurance. They have gone as far as I think they need to by mandating that if you drive a car, you need to be insured. But I think that they are reaching way out of their bounds of what they constitutionally can do when they go and tell us that because they have passed this law on health care, we now all have to get health care whether we want to or not. And if we don't, then they can fine us. Well, my problem goes in different angles on this one, because, you know, if they want to find me, that's fine and dandy, but, you know, they're not going to get blood out of a turnip. You know, and right at the moment, I'm so darn poor that, you know, if they tried to get money out of me for not buying health care when I can't afford it in the first place, if I can't afford to pay for health care, how am I going to pay for a fine? You know, and my ideas have always been to the point where if they're going to try and fine me for not having health care and go as far as taking it out of my paycheck, then I'll quit working. Let them try and get money when I'm not making any. You know, I grew up in Colorado. If it came down to the fact that I needed to live off the land, it is a possibility. My wife, sits down and does what she wants to do, you know, like we plant a garden out here every summer. When we plant the garden, you know, if things work out right, we get a good amount of food out of that garden. And she cans tomatoes and she cans beans and things like that. And we've got things from last year's garden still up in our cupboard. If it came down to the point where, you know, people had to resist the government by doing things that they normally wouldn't, I think people will do it. And with so many people now talking about Obamacare being something that really the government has no right to do, I think they're starting to get the idea that there are more than just me out here thinking what I'm thinking, that all I need to do is get, you know, well, now I'm going along and then my mind goes blank, but, you know, I've got a phone call, and I think here, 661 area code. Hello?
I'm on a 208. This is Fred.
Oh, well, it says 661. How are you
today? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Hi, Robert. I finally got connected by phone, at least. I haven't heard this. This is Fred, or Hoodoo, whichever way you want.
Yeah. Okay.
I just wanted to add my support. Like I said, I haven't heard the show so far, so I can't really add anything to it. I'm glad that you're making the traditional American label. All people can think about it.
Well, I think that is a label that would actually bring more people onto our side than just saying conservatives, mainly because, you know, the conservative label has been given such a bad rap by so many people. And even John McCain helped hurt that by trying to tell us in the election where he ran against Obama in 2008, that he was the only true conservative out there, when everybody and their aunt knows that John McCain is nobody's conservative.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think it definitely includes everybody that's on our side, because the walls go up when you tell somebody you're a conservative or a Tea Partier, and we all are both most of the time. But if you say I'm a traditional American, the automatic response I've been getting is me too. And then the conversation keeps going.
Yeah, and that way you actually get a chance to try and push the ideals that if they listen to them, they agree to also.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's not a replacement for terms like conservative or right-wing or Tea Partier. It includes them. Anybody that talks to me for more than a minute on politics knows for a fact that I'm both a Tea Partier and a conservative and probably what some people would consider a radical right-winger, among other labels.
Yeah, I think I've been labeled that one myself.
Oh, I've got such a long list of labels now it's confusing, but when I say I'm a traditional American, it's real easy to keep talking to folks.
Yeah, that's you know, because they don't throw those walls up, you know, to try and stop us from talking, which is
and it'd be very, it's also a term that's very hard for the left to try to either take over or make fun of. One thing they've always avoided was going directly at American traditions. They go around it. They change language and things.
Yeah. I totally agree with you on that one. But, you know, it's being a conservative is not a bad thing, you know, even though, you know, Washington has tried to make it so. But I feel that they would find it a lot harder to damn the name, you know, traditional American than they would conservative, because they've pretty much done that with conservatism. But traditional American, I think, is a harder name to throw down and try and get rid of like they did, like they've done with the Republican Party and conservatism.
Oh, I agree completely. It's instinctive for everybody on our side to accept that name once they hear it. But it's also instinctive for the opponents on the other side to try to claim that they are traditional Americans. And that's so easy to refute. They just become laughable when they do that.
Yeah. Well, they had had a comment in the chat room that said a traditional American in California is a different beast than a traditional American in Idaho. But
okay, fine. If you're a San Francisco resident and you claim to be a traditional American, what makes you think you are one? Tell me about it.
Yeah. Can you
say I'm proud to be an American and just leave it at that, or do you have to add a bunch of buts afterwards?
Yeah, that's where the big thing comes in, is that you know, if they say they're a traditional American, but then you know they're not.
I tell people that it's the buts with the buts that we're against.
Yep, that's very true. You know, one of the ones that just has always just torqued me the wrong way was Nancy Pelosi. She is. I don't know. I just had to bring that one up because I was just reading a little thing about her, and her idea on what she feels about the Defense of Marriage Act. I think if we don't start getting rid of people like Pelosi and Harry Reid and you know, the others in our Senate that will not do the right thing because it doesn't pertain to their side, I think they have to be gotten rid of. We have to stop voting these people in. I'm still shaking my head over that last election because I was sure that some of those guys would get ousted from office, and they're still there. So I really don't understand the thinking. I don't understand why they're still there. But I'm just a peon, so I don't know.
I don't know, but I suspect that in an election that they won by 2 or 3%, it'd be very, very easy these days to change the software that does the actual count and sway it 8 or 9% the other direction in swing states. And it does two things. It not only steals the election, it also makes us feel like we didn't show up. I think both of those are myths.
Well, you know, another one that was missed, too, is the fact that he didn't win by as big a margin as he had before. Harry Reid. And Pelosi didn't either. And so we are gaining on them. But the sad part is they're still winning.
Can I interject real quick? If the election is rigged, then if the elections are rigged and they're faulty and so on, then why don't we concentrate on that angle instead of voting again? Really? Because why does it matter then at that point?
Well, I don't think that they're rigged as much as some people think, but you know it just. The thing that is wrong in our elections is that the American people have got such short memories that somebody like Obama or Reid has to do is just change their position for a few months, and we tend to forget what they have stood for all along.
Well, you're right about Reid and Pelosi and those individual candidates. I'm talking about the whole election. And it'd be very, very easy with the registration fraud and motor voter and everything else to add a couple points on their side. And then if you throw in a little software change, which would be easy to do, in the actual counting mechanism in the electronics, there'd be nothing to it. We need to change to get that fixed. We need to go back to pencil and paper ballots and real voter ID. And it'll change the whole picture.
Yeah, because, you know, it's just things like in Minnesota when Coleman ran against, what's-his-face, and lost because they kept finding votes inside of trunks of cars and things like that, you know, until the Republican lost. I think that's something that would disappear, too, if we went back to the paper voting, you know, to where everything was kept in one place, you know, so they couldn't go out and say, well, we found all these things inside a car. Well, so what? That's not where they should have been. They should have been right here. So, you know, and that was something that just Al Franken was who I was trying to think of. But he, you know, I followed that one because, you know, I live in Indiana, which is just kind of, you know, a little south of them. And I followed that election because I was sure that Coleman had won that. And I still think he did, but I think it was stolen from him. And I think if we went back to the paper ballots, I think that kind of thing would stop happening so easily.
Well, I agree.
You know, because if they're going to be voting electronically, my first question on that whole thing was if everything was voted electronically, then how could the votes have been in the trunk of a car? You know, there's no way they could have gotten there unless there was a computer in there that somebody had stashed away from one of the voting places, which... You know, it would have been something that would have been hard to do in the first place. But I agree. You know, we should go back to voting the way we did before, using paper ballots. I think that they would start using more discretion with what they're doing and how they're voting, or not how they're voting, but how they're counting the votes. You know, instead of just automatically figuring, well, the machine's right, and just count the votes as they get them, but I think the humans are more careful when they have to rely on their own consciences and their own thought process rather than dealing with a computer. At least that's my opinion. I think that during the, you know, since we've gone to computers, that a lot of people figure, well, you know, we're doing it with a computer. No mistakes can be made. So, you know, if they find that there's more votes for one guy than we thought, then that it has to be because it was done with a computer. No. I think that people are just getting lackadaisical with the way they're thinking, and that they're getting lazy.
Yeah, you're right. And the argument against paper ballots is it's too inconvenient. It takes too long. Well, let's put up the inconvenience and just have an honest election again.
Yeah, because I don't think we've had an honest election in a while.
No, we've got to change that.
Yeah, because I know even here, in the small town I live in, we don't use paper. It's all, well, I'm not really sure. It's one of these older ones where you punch a hole in something, and I guess there's a piece of paper underneath there, and that has the votes on it. It's not an electronic.
When you go into the voting booth and they ask you if you want paper or plastic, then I'm going to have some serious issues going on there.
that is for sure. But I know with, you know, where I've always lived in a small town anyway, except for when I lived in New Mexico. I lived in Albuquerque there, and I don't remember voting there too much because that was when I was turning 16, 17, and by the time I got to voting age, I remember I did vote several times, but I don't remember too much about it. But since I've been here in Indiana, I've lived in little towns. I lived in Elwood for a while. I remember voting there. It was at a firehouse. And here in Jamestown, it's at the the city hall, or not city hall, but the municipal building where we pay our bills, you know, for the utilities and things like that. But it's a small building, and they have a room set off for the voting, and I think there's two or three voting booths there. But they're the ones that you push your pin or something through a hole, and it puts the votes in it.
Well, we've become so modernized that it's easy to, in this day and age, to become corrupt.
Yeah,
that's right.
And we're getting to a point where corruption seems to be the way we want to go, and no, it's not. But you know, according to the left in this government, in our government, the more corruption there is, the better it is. And
the left wants everybody to be on the government teat, as it were, mm-hmm. for everything from cradle to grave. So, you know, that's what they want, and the left wants no guns, because otherwise then guns are not there for us really to protect ourselves from our family from intruders, or protect ourselves from the government. They don't want that. So they'll do anything that they can to marginalize it, make us look like idiots, and, to take out whatever semblance of a society that we have as Americans and our Second Amendment rights.
Yeah, and the only time that they'll go against that is when it starts going against them. And then they'll start backing away from that. But, you know, when it goes against the people and not them, then they don't care. So...
I don't think they worry too much about that, really. In all honesty, I really don't think they care. You know, a lot of them got places outside of the United States that they're going to go to live when they retire, and they'll have a bunch of money, and they don't care. And that's the way they look at it. So it's time, it's time that we redefine the movement, we redefine who we are, and we reorganize where we're going.
Yeah.
It's just my opinion.
Well, I don't know. My mind went blank again. I had a good idea there for a second, and it just disappeared. But, we've got... I look back on a lot of things, with Democrats and the Republicans, it's just like, if you go back in time, there's, I can remember when Tom Foley got ousted from his seat. I think he was the Speaker of the House. And they ousted him for something that was just actually kind of ridiculously little. I've known of Democrats who have gotten away with way more than that and have stayed in office their whole life. Ted Kennedy's one. If Ted Kennedy had been a Republican, he'd have never lasted that his first term. Joe Biden says some of the stupidest dang things that I've ever heard anybody say. And yet you never will hear too much against him when it comes to the media. But let a Republican say some of the things that he has said, and all hell would break loose. You wouldn't hear the last of it in the media. This country is definitely being pulled in two different directions, and the liberal side of it thinks that they've got everything down pat, and they think that this nation follows them and wants them to do exactly what they're doing. And it's mainly because they follow polls that they skew to fit their agenda, but they will not listen to the people. And the people have been talking, and they've been talking loud and clear. But the only ones that seem to be hearing that are the conservative Republicans. And I put conservative in there because John McCain supposedly is a Republican, but he hasn't heard any of this either. So I'm just hoping that the American people wise up and start voting these people out of office. And I don't care if they're on the right or on the left, if they're not following the Constitution and the laws of the land and wanting to have smaller government and lower taxes and do something about illegal immigration and closing our borders, then they need to go. There are so many things right now in our nation that is destroying this country little by little, and it's like a train wreck that has started, and the rear of the train's coming, and it's still going normally, but you can see the end coming really fast, and that is where this nation is at right at this moment. You can see the end coming, and if we don't do something soon, it's going to hit us, and there's not going to be anything we can do about it.
Well, to me, that is one word, liberal. Liberalism, whatever.
Yeah, and we have to do something about this. It's just this whole idea of knowing that they're not good for this nation, but voting them back into office. That's just a part of the American psyche that I just never have understood. We're at a crossroads, and things have to change, or this nation's going to cease to exist as the America that we all know. And I don't know of any other way to put that.
I totally agree with you. I think that we're getting close to the track of socialism and the downfall of what has happened in this country, but we definitely do need to turn it around. We do have a little letter that we need to, and our number here is 718-305-7176. If you wish to call in, we have a little liner to read for Patriot Depot, and if you want, Robert, I'll go ahead and do that, give you a little break.
Okay, that would be fine.
All right, well, thank you. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're conservative. We think that would be about it, because we got rid of the one liberal troll that was around here. But anyways, you live in America and our Constitution just like we do. So if that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts to flags. And your pipeline of that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's largest, best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner, and join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, and the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park, getting frisky in the dark. I gave your eye a poke, think the dog is in the bedroom. I smell smoke, you and me. We never give up, you and me. Never, ever, ever give up.
Give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy,
brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
I definitely like that one.
My buddy Greg does all those, man. He's just a good, he's got a good voice. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he does. Yes. Yeah, he does. I'm trying to figure out what else to talk about here. I've got my pretty much gone through everything I had.
Well, we got Boyd over here on the line if you want to get him back on.
Yeah, if he's still there. He looks like he's...
He called back in. He was ready and raring to speak again. He said, get me back.
Oh, boy.
welcome again, Boyd.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I was going to mention when you were talking about dumb people stuff, and then Steve actually put it in there. My congressman is in deep trouble because he used the term wetback to describe illegal aliens instead of using the term illegal aliens.
Oh, poo-poo on him. What a bad boy.
Yeah. But
I heard about that yesterday.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's one of the reasons why I love him so much, is he doesn't beat around the bush. I mean, he got in trouble, 10, 15 years ago, because he was talking in front of a high school class I believe in Fairbanks, and he was talking about one of those art shows, you know, from back then, a Markley or something like that, you know, where they had all of the pornographic images and stuff like that. And during his talk to the students, he'd used the term sodomy, which, you know, wasn't until one of the students asked him what the definition of sodomy was. You know, what is sodomy? And he answered the kid. And he doesn't mince words. And he said it was butt fucking. You know, and, you know, he got into trouble for that, for giving a student an answer to a question he had asked.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, Steve, that was the Robert Mapplethorpe.
Oh, yeah, I remember him now. Robert Mapplethorpe.
Yeah. And, you know. He's just a straight-up talking guy. Politically correct? Nah. You know, tries to be, but nah. And if he was, I wouldn't be working for him or voting for him.
Yeah. I was just looking at an article I found in National Journal again. I keep going back to them. It's about Chuck Schumer. And it said, the headline is, could Chuck Schumer be well set to chair Senate Banking Committee? I can see all kinds of things wrong with that one.
Yeah, a guy involved in one of our, you know, biggest financial collapses, sitting there going to chair the Senate Financial Committee, Chucky Schumer. You know, yeah let's... Dude, we keep putting – these people keep putting the inmates in charge of the prison. It's just crazy. I don't agree with it. I don't like it.
No, I sure don't either. It's just it's like they keep – you know, somebody on their side gets in trouble for doing something, so the next person they want to put in totally agrees with the person that's going out, and they think everything's going to be perfectly fine. And, you know, I think it's starting to implode on them, and they just don't even realize it yet.
Well, it's hard for me to understand how somebody could sit there and keep voting for these people in the first place. But I don't know. I mean, if the elections are rigged, then we might as well do something different, you know, as far as what people are telling me. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know what the answer is, other than getting more awareness out there. But when you got 50% of the people on in this country on welfare of some sort, getting handouts from the government, they're not going to vote these people out. They're going to keep voting them in. It don't matter what anybody calls anybody, I don't think. I think it just depends on their persistence on making sure that they rely on the government.
Well, you know, there's been so many things going on the past couple of years that are things that I just never thought I'd ever see, you know, like that lady in Detroit who was standing in line for her Obama money. And, you know, and the thing that surprised me about that was there was actually a reporter out there who was doing his job and asking why she was standing out there, you know, and, you know. We've got about 50% of the people on welfare right now, and the thing that kind of brings me full circle on this whole thing is an article that I had read about when food stamps were first instituted. At the same time as they were giving out food stamps to these people, they were also putting out a campaign in our national parks to not feed the animals, because feeding them would make them dependent on us and they wouldn't learn how to take care of themselves in in the wild.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
And here we're doing the same thing to people, and people, you know, if they're given a chance to be lazy, they're going to be lazy.
Well, how I want to be lazy.
What attracts people here, you know, anymore? I mean, it used to be back in before the 30s, I think, you know, even 30 up to 36 or so, 32. People used to come here to the United States to immigrate, to create a better life for themselves, to escape the persecution in their own countries, to get away from the idiot dictators that they had in their own countries and so on. Now what do they come here for, Robert?
They come here for the free stuff.
yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's it in a nutshell. And I don't know how you know, the only way to get rid of that is to demagnetize the free stuff. Get rid of it. And we're in, what, day 60-something of the sequester or whatever it is? I haven't noticed anything. You know, but we can sit there and we can find, $23 million for some gay issue day or something that, you know, I mean, we can find all this money all of a sudden out of the woodwork, but we can't sit there and have the White House open for tours. This is the president that's trying to hold, like, acting like a kid, spoiled rotten little kid. In my opinion, holding his breath, turn blue.
He wants us to think that, you know, since we're cutting this supposed massive amount from his budget, that there are things that are gonna disappear. And, you know, and he even brought up the points about local police and things like that. Well, local police have nothing to do with the federal government, so there's nothing that he could do, you know, that the sequester would do about that anyway.
No,
the local police are getting hung up on federal grants, and there he has the kicker.
Well,
I mean,
he's doing is using scare tactics, which is something they always accuse the right of doing. But
I mean, it's just, you know, like our state troopers have just recently received 3 armored personnel carriers, you know, brand new. And I know that our state government didn't buy it for them, and they don't have the money for it. Where did they get them from?
Seems to me like it's just a shell game of, you know, passing stuff around right now, and you know, the blame too, not just the money, but the blame. They just keep shelling the blame out to different groups and so on.
Yeah, and it has to be the different groups, because they don't want the blame to be shoved back in their face, even though that's where a lot of it should be.
Well, that's where all of it should be. All of it, not just some of it. All of it should be. And that's just my opinion. But.
Well, yeah, you know, but I've been doing my blog on for about actually close to 8 years now, which kind of surprises me. I didn't think that it would last this long, but when I first started. One of the things that I had problems with was when I'd get a liberal that would comment to me about something that I had said, and it would totally blow me out of the water. And what I had started to do was I started replying to all of my people who were commenting, and you know, if they were a liberal, I would reiterate the conservative values. But where I found my problem was is they would come off with this ideal about how I was wrong and how they were right. And when they did it, my mind says, yeah, that kind of sounds cool. And I had a friend who helped me a lot during this time, because I had all kinds of problems coming back with replies for these people, because they would either hit me with something that would be so blatantly wrong that I knew it, to the point where my mind would just go blank when it came to trying to figure out a way to answer these guys. And this friend of mine who helped me with this is a black woman who I revere her thoughts and ideas very much. She is a black conservative. She has her own blog, but she has helped me to start realizing how to answer to these people. And she unfortunately has been offline for a while now, because she lost her internet due to not having any work. But she is one of these people that I just really like how she portrays everything. And one of the things that she has said is that, you know, we need to stop pushing this idea that helping people is the right thing to do, you know, when they can help themselves. That's the thing that we've got to start looking at, is that when a person can help themselves, they do not need government help. And
exactly right. We got Mr. Live Read, but we got a quick break here coming up, Robert, and then we'll get back to the end of the show.
Okay.
Your closing remarks.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Yeah, I was just looking at another article that I found, and the headline on it was, and this one's actually, to me, is kind of scary, but it says, House Democrats see political gains in 2014 without Obama on the ticket. To me, they
I'm sorry,
are now...
I had to laugh, but...
that was essentially what I was thinking too. I just have to laugh because they're sitting there thinking, you know, okay, well, we've got such short memories. If they take Obama, if Obama's not on the ticket in 2014, we'll forget.
What I find amusing is that, yeah, if Obama's not on the ticket, which he won't be, as far as I know, then yeah, we're just going to win all these races. I mean, are these people like hanging out in these medical marijuana states that love smoking? I don't know.
I just they're on something. But they're talking midterm elections by their nature are usually bearish for Democrats, and key constituencies like young people and minorities turn out in fewer numbers, giving Republican-friendly seniors and whites greater sway at the ballot box. And as a major reason, few Democrats predict they can retake the House in 2014. But that's, you know, and that was the first paragraph. But that's not what the darn headline said. You know, the headline said that they see potential gains in 2014, but that first paragraph said just exactly the opposite. And so I'm trying to figure out which way the gains are thinking. They're thinking the gains are going to go.
I don't know. It's still funny. It's all funny, man. It's funny how the media manipulates themselves, actually, to some point. But anyway, as far as our show tomorrow, Robert, you know, some things are pretty important and some things never change. ConservativeNationRadio.org respects the American family and traditional values, which is why Michael Smith and myself will be spending Easter Sunday with our families, which I highly encourage you all to do too. And we're going to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. So if you're having Soldiers of Patriotism withdrawal, you can download any episode of our signature show, Sunday show. But don't worry, Michael and me will be back Sunday, April 7th at 4 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, with Soldiers of Patriotism on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Yeah.
That
being said, I'm going to be spending that with my family, too. It's not going to be exactly my family. My mom's in Washington State. My brother's down in Texas. I won't be with either one of them, but I'm going to be spending it with my wife and the kids, and we're going over to her dad's house, and we're going to have Easter dinner over there, and so it'll be fun. And after, of course, that'll be happening after church.
Oh yeah.
So,
also, I wanted to point out something too, if I could. If you go over to traditionalamericanmovement.com, bigdogmusicmafia.com. You'll find a post that I dropped over there, and even Facebook, on a birthday card shower for a 100-year centennial veteran, Frank Ritenour, served in three wars, and he's in a nursing home right now, and he's getting cards. We're putting this together. A lot of people are putting this together on our own, and the guy's already got like 650 cards coming in. So if you got the time, check it out. Get a birthday card, fill it out, send it in, and some of us are including some money so that him and his the senior people over there at the home can have a good time, man. Well, whatever he wants to do with it. I don't care what he wants to do. He can donate charity, whatever he wants to do. But let's get that out to him. But all you have to do is
he's one of those guys that's a super patriot. He's fought in three wars. So, you know, somebody who
When you're 100 years old, he's definitely worth a birthday card, okay? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
But I already, Michael. Did I call you Michael Robert? Michael Robert. Maybe I'll, hey, how about that?
Well, I try and stay away from Michael because every time I think of Michael, I think of Bloomberg anymore. So, yeah, that's.
Oh, Nanny Boy.
But we're starting to run towards the end of the show here. What I wanted to do was thank everyone who has listened, everyone who was in the chat room. And I noticed there was a lot of chatting going on in there, which made it just exactly what it was supposed to be for. I know next week I'll be here again. Hopefully I'll be more organized, as I'll be able to study and figure out what the heck I'm doing instead of kind of trying to fly by the seat of my pants here and try and figure it out. But this was fun, and I'm glad I made the move. This is going to be a good thing. Conservative Nation Radio has a show on now every night of the week. So if you want to hear some good conservative traditional American talk every day of the week, it's there now. And that's all off of conservativenationradio.org. And I hope that everyone has a blessed Easter and can do what they need to do to enjoy the holiday. And I found my outro song. So we'll say goodnight to everybody, and glad you guys were here, and we'll talk to you next week.
Well, thank you, Robert. Nice doing the show with you.
And thanks for the help.
You got a buddy?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I said you got a buddy in Tennessee anytime you want.
Okay, well, thanks. And have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.